He had the right idea, just execution was poor.
The idea being...
No,
trademark trolling.
No. Jesus. No, like, not the right idea about, like, you know, killing people, but the right idea about unifying Europe.
Hitler had the right idea. The door is still in Langdon. Whoa! Rewind! Hello, welcome once again to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Hearn, and with me today are Alex Rennie.
Hello.
Speaking from Dundee, Scotland. Tracy Erickson.
Hello.
Speaking from Portland, Oregon. And the runt, the usurper, Ben Maxwell.
The victorious usurper. Hi.
Hello. Very helpfully managed the podcast the last couple of weeks, and I believe there was some Rob directed abuse.
Well, I think if you listen, Alex takes full responsibility for all that abuse at the end of last week's podcast.
I think I did that. Yeah,
I didn't get all the way to the end, but that's good to know.
No one gets to the end of yours either. Don't worry.
Yeah. Well,
sometimes I leave.
Yeah, me too. Well, that's good. So that's got us off to a good start then. Some internecine squabbling on the Fucking Gamer podcast. So Ben is here as our producer now. So we're like Carl Pilkington was in the early Ricky Gervais radio show, kind of brought in every so often for comment or just to be abused by the other hosts. How does that sound, Ben?
It sounds a lot like my past. It took me a lot of therapy to get over that.
The orphanage.
Yeah. There was a mine underneath it as well. It was a terrifying place.
And that was a Catholic. It was a Catholic orphanage, wasn't it?
Oh, was it? Oh. Unlucky.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah.
I was away for a couple of weeks. That's why I wasn't in the podcast. I was getting married, and during the wedding, during the reception, Susie's uncle, who is an actor on TV, he does comedy, and plays the meerkat on a British advert, did a speech because that's the kind of thing he does because it's a show off, and he did a really good Catholic priest joke, didn't he?
Yeah, it's unrepeatable though.
Sadly, it was very funny.
Actually, I can't even remember it, but it was very funny. Funny that I started crying.
I think I might do it, because I can sort of remember it. About how Susie, because Susie is a doctor, and he was talking about her medical background. He said that when she was young, she knew facts about the human body. For example, that the anus can tell the difference between a gas, a solid, and a liquid. Doesn't do so well on Catholic priests, though.
Yeah.
It got a big laugh because it was just so naughty. Just really, really naughty in a wedding with children. There you are. So that was good. Now I'm married.
Congratulations. So there you go. I'll say it.
I was waiting. Thank you.
What do you want?
Congratulations, Rob.
Thank you. Right, so... It's been kind of a slow week. I've just been looking for news. Not much has happened. A couple of big things have happened, but nothing. Not a lot of small things as we usually get. So let's fire straight in. No, actually, how are you, Tracy?
That's big news.
How was France?
France was good. Yes, it was good. That's right, because you were gone.
We haven't spoken
while I was
since
gone
then.
As well.
Yeah, because we haven't spoken since then. So even though it happened quite a long time ago, in a weird way, it's like it's only just happened. Because I've been away in a parallel universe. So you went to France. Yeah. You came to Bristol. We hung out. France. How was that then? Did you see some good stuff?
I saw a lot of cheese shops.
Okay, and iPhone games.
Yeah. Oh right. Yes, I did. I actually two of them are going to be live on the store pretty soon. Prince of Persia, Warrior Within, and Gangstar, West's Hustle HD.
Okay.
To play those, so, yeah.
Brilliant. How was Gangstar?
It's for iPad, so it's just a bigger version of the iPhone version. If you like Gangstar, then you'll like it on iPad, but I don't think it's a particularly compelling iPad game. I don't necessarily know I want to play a blown up mini GTA on it. Like, I don't want to be holding, I don't know. I'm not so much of a fan of all of the iPad ports that GameLoft has been doing as of late.
Right.
6 okay. out of 10.
Are you calling it?
Called it.
Called it 6 out of 10. Okay, obviously that doesn't reflect the views of
I bet it is a
any professional journalist. and Prince of Persia, of course, we can talk about that a little bit more in a couple of minutes after we've asked Alex, how are you?
I'm in bed.
Ben, how are you?
I'm very, very well. I'm feeling a little bit like I'm in, you know.
So, Prince, anyway,
loose
go, okay, Ben, okay, come on. News! Right, so Prince of Persia on iPhone. Right, so you saw that, Prince of Persia Warrior Within, Tracy, and also Prince of Persia Classic. Has been announced for iPhone, and these
which
are two,
is awesome.
Yeah, and these are two different games from two different companies, owned by two members of the same family, or run by two members of the same family, coming out roughly at the same time. That's pretty weird, isn't it? No.
No, that's not weird. You're weird.
No.
Weird.
I think it's slightly weird. So Prince of Persia Classic is probably going to be pretty good. Because it's likely to be the same one that's on Xbox Live Arcade. It's the original game with a couple of kind of minor improvements. And how did Warrior Within look, Tracy, when you saw it?
I was pretty impressed that they actually were able to cram the PS2 game onto an iPhone. I mean, they literally are porting the entire console game.
Okay, so it's 3D.
It's 3D. It's the full console game.
Blimey.
I'm really interested to see what the file size on that one's going to be. But it uses virtual controls, obviously. So I thought the stick was a little bit sticky. But part of, I think, when you move as a prince, he is kind of weighty in the console versions to give you that sense of momentum when you're doing all the platform challenges. And I think that may have made it seem like it was kind of sticky or that the prince was kind of moving in a stilted way, because it also was, that's kind of how I think it's supposed to be in a way. My concern though is that it was kind of stuttering, like the performance wasn't too well with the graphics, and I wonder, it could be a reflection of just that particular iPhone had not been reset in a long time and not be restarted, so the memory was kind of taken up, or whether or not that was actually the game and that's how it runs. It just runs slow because it's running on a hand, you know, it's running on an iPhone, it's not running on a PS2. So, I mean, my initial impression was not fantastic, but I also could see playing it at home on a freshly restarted iPhone or iPod Touch and it running perfectly fine, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. Wow. I'm impressed that it's the full 3D version.
Detailed.
That was very detailed. That's amazing. So they're very different games then.
Yeah, I wonder what how the Classic is going to control. I imagine it'll just use a D-pad too.
Yeah, but that's an easier thing because it's mimicking an older controller, the controller that I played Prince of Persia with just had left, right, up, down, and one button. I think that's easier to do if you're trying to do controls that are supposed to mimic a PlayStation 2 controller that have How many buttons, Ben?
More 12 than 12. Your shirt.
More than my shirt.
It's all packed away. I'm moving. I can't. Like, I don't know.
Okay. I thought you were just now because of your encyclopedic knowledge.
Yeah. 10.
Yeah. Out of 10.
There should be. Buttons. Well, I'm just going to do it in my head. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Done it. Just done it.
Are you including start and select?
Yeah.
Well, it's 12 then.
16 actually, because there's L3 and R3.
Yes. I forgot.
And you have to add more because did you add the buttons for the D-pad?
Did you know? 16.
The D-pad those are 4 buttons.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know the reason why Sony couldn't do a regular like a full D-pad like on a NES controller?
Tim Langdell owned the patent.
Pretty close, yeah. Nintendo owns the patent for the directional pad.
Boom!
Really?
Yeah.
For the
that's
cross.
That's why also on the Xbox 360 controller, it's that awful, ridiculous, like circular D-pad.
Yeah.
You know, this is that one big button that just clicks in 4 directions.
That is a good piece of video game trivia, which I did not know. So there we have it. Video Prince of Persia fans, you've got a lot to look forward to. Basically, you've got Jake Gyllenhaal. And that girl, Gemma Arterton, in a glitzy Hollywood film. You've got Prince of Persia Classic for iPhone, and you've got Warrior Within on iPhone as well. So it's a good time to be a Prince of Persia fan. What else has been happening this week? Sam Fisher's This Is Another Game Lore Story. Sam Fisher's iPhone debut has been delayed by 3 days. So not a massive deal, really. I mean, you know, people can afford to wait. Did you have a look at that? You've played that before, haven't you?
I did. I actually saw it while I was in Paris, too, when I was seeing Prince of Persia. And that was my second time having seen Splinter Cell Conviction, the first being GDC. And I thought it was okay. It was pretty early. It was an alpha build. They really cleaned it up. They've really polished up Conviction. It looked a huge difference in terms of performance, in terms of the polish on the graphics. The controls were a lot tighter. The missions flowed a lot better. The game has really come together. So I'm looking forward to it, to actually seeing how it comes out next week.
Looks pretty fancy. On the first screenshot that we've got on pocketgamer.co.uk is a picture of Sam Fisher kicking a man in the genitals, and the man flying back, as you do in that situation. You should check it out. I'm waiting for comment. I mean, you're all here to provide insight.
Comment. It's too early.
It was funnier when no one said anything.
Weak. Okay.
So Splinter Cell is out on May 27th.
That's right, and it was originally going to be out on the 24th. So there you are. You'll have to wait another 3 days for that, and that's a shame because it sounds quite good.
That's my birthday on the 27th.
Hint, hint. Well, happy birthday for a week, because inevitably we will forget if you remind us again. Can you have the day off? Absolutely not. But I wish you the best. So Sam Fisher is coming. It's going to be 3 days late. This is already late, though. The iPhone version is already kind of late when you think about the console version, which came out a few weeks ago. Do you think they originally, in the original plan, they were supposed to come out together, and this whole thing has been a delay?
Oh, yeah. Because when I saw it at GDC, Gameloft was saying, I actually remember talking to them and asking, when's it going to come out? And within a month. And then they were like, oh, wait, we mean soon. So I think it was supposed to come out when the console version came out.
Hmm. When they said it would be out within a month, did they say it with conviction? Okay, Steve Jobs is iPad revolution, freedom from porn. I like this story. I like this story because I, you know, even though I shun and disdain celebrity worship, I still do get a little bit excited whenever a story breaks about Steve Jobs replying to someone's email, which is such a mundane thing anyway for someone to get excited about. Somebody replied to somebody else's email, but sometimes Steve Jobs replies to people's emails, and whenever he does, it makes international news. And in this case, a Gawker Media blogger, let's get his name, emailed Steve Jobs, Ryan Tate he's called, emailed Steve Jobs whilst drunk to complain about an iPad advert that he'd seen in which it said the iPad was revolutionary. And this Ryan Tate guy said, well, I'll give you his exact words. So the advert must have used Bob Dylan. So if Dylan was 20 today, how would he feel about your company? Would he think the iPad had the faintest thing to do with, in speech marks, revolution? Revolutions are about freedom. So he's Ryan Tate is attacking Steve Jobs there on the grounds that the iPad restricts freedom. Steve Jobs gets back to him to say that it does give you freedom. A line I really like that was in the headline, freedom from porn. Does anybody... Do people seek freedom from porn?
I seek porn.
Yeah. I seek freedom from no porn. That's my life, basically. Up until the age of the internet, was a constant struggle for freedom from non-porn. And then the internet came along and, you know, struggle was over.
Boom. Porn time.
Yeah. What about you, Ben? Do you seek freedom from porn?
I seek freedom from your porn. I like playing games. That's what I do with the internet. I play desktop tower defense.
Okay.
Does that make me? Does that lower my esteem in your eyes?
What? From zero?
From zero to a minus number.
No, that's fine. but you don't like. But you don't need.
Also, my girlfriend's in the kitchen, so I can't really discuss that.
Yeah, but you don't seek freedom from it, though, do you? I mean, it doesn't attack you. It
does not let you look at porn.
No. But I like I.
Why doesn't she let you look at porn?
Say the word porn. Say the word porn.
Is it because of how you get?
Yeah, it's because again, it's the history and the memories.
Choke that bitch.
If you look at Steve's words, you think about searching for anything on Google. Do you have moderate safe search on, or do you have it off? Because you can search for anything innocent with off, and you don't get any results. You just get a bunch of women doing things to men.
It's only if you didn't tell you about. There's a very specific situation where that happens, where you're looking for something and you know that the search term is a little bit dodgy. Like, you know, you're looking up nannies. You think, oh, I need a nanny, right? I'll look up nannies. But if you just look up Google, then it's fine. I mean, you get the links to websites that say, you know, nanny being gangbanged in a boat, and you go, oh, right, well, I just won't click on that one. But the problem is when you do a Google Images search and you're in public, so I can't do, basically, if I need an image for something, which I have to do Google Image searches quite often, if I'm doing a Google Image search and I'm in public, I just often won't do it because of what might come up. So yeah, I can see what you mean.
Nannies is fine. There's no porn for nannies on Google Image search.
Okay. I must have meant
however,
whores.
Nanny's gangbang. Jesus, there is tons.
Well, anyway, there's Steve Jobs. Yep, freedom. The times they are changing, he says, using the Bob Dylan line in his email. A bit cheeky. And some traditional PC folks feel like their world is slipping away. It is. The argument goes on. And Ryan Tate continues to complain to Steve Jobs about his definition of revolution and freedom. And I like Steve Jobs' kind of final word in this argument. He says, what have you done that's so great? Which I like because I think he's right. I mean, you can complain to Steve Jobs, and you should be able to complain, obviously, to people who are successful and who have done things. And there's no reason not to. But I still think that's a great comeback, because obviously this guy from Gawker Media is just whinging at someone, and Steve Jobs goes, eh, so what? I invented the iPad. So that's what happened anyway. Steve Jobs got in an argument and replied to someone's email, and as ever, it became international news. And he said, the iPad gives you freedom from porn, which is a great thing to say. The average iPhone app, according to some research, sells 101,024 copies. So that's the average iPhone app. Do we believe this to be true?
If you take out all like the really big selling apps, it makes more sense.
Yeah, no, of course it makes sense. So yeah, they take out those, and then the average drops to 11,625 units. If you remove the top 10% selling games from the list that is being examined, then it drops from 101,024 to 11,025. So that's 10% of. That
makes sense to me.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. It's still not bad, is it? If that's the average, if that's across all apps, 11,000, I'd be happy with that. Well, there you are anyway. If you're thinking of being an app developer, then the average is that you will sell as long as you do something decent or have downloaded for free is about 11,000. And more Jobs complaining, well, Apple complaining about the iPhone 4G leak. The immensely damaging leak, says Apple, cost the company sales for the reason that now that people know that the 4G is coming and they've seen it on Gizmodo and everywhere else, but originally on Gizmodo, no one's buying 3GSs anymore because they're waiting. Just, you know, I mean, probably true. I've seen the argument before. I mean, people have used that reasoning to demonstrate why Nintendo is so stupid, because it announced a console before, it announced the 3DS before the DSi XL was even available, I think, in this country or something like that, thus stopping anyone, you know, thus discouraging anyone from buying the previous iteration, and or in this case, the iteration that wasn't even available yet. So that's Apple's case against Gizmodo. Ben, do you...
Hello.
Hello. Do you think this is a strong legalistic argument?
I think it probably is, if you are going to be anal about it, but at the same time, everyone knows that their handsets are being updated fairly frequently, and technology today, the cycles have just exponentially sped up, haven't they? Consoles, though, slowing down, the big ones, everything else getting a bit faster. So perhaps it's not not really a valid argument, but I'm sure it would hold up in court.
Well,
from a financial perspective.
Still under discussion. And the California police still haven't... They seized Jason Chen's computer several weeks ago. They still haven't looked through them yet because they...
They've got freedom from porn.
I assume would be Jason Chen's primary concern when his computers were stolen, is he wants freedom. He wants freedom from other people finding out that he does not have freedom from his computers do not have freedom from porn. Yeah, but you're right. Apple is once a year, isn't it? So it was always going to be the case that an iPhone 4G. But then that's only for people like us to know. I'm trying to think like the judge now.
Well, but if you think about contracts, though, because you don't buy a phone like you would, say, a DS. You go to the store and you buy a DS. If you're going to get a phone, you get it on a contract. And mine, I'm locked into my 3GS for 24 months. So, you know, by the time I get out of it, there'll probably be a 5G. So I'll probably miss the next one. I can't upgrade my phone. So as I don't see why people wouldn't buy in. I mean, maybe that's another reason not to buy in, because you know you've got a long wait before you get out on the other side. But if you're going to think like that, you'll never buy a phone, because there's always going to be something else that'll occur during your contract.
Yep. I've got a Nokia 5800. I tried to upgrade to an iPhone with Vodafone, and they said no. So no, you can't. you'd have to cancel your contract and pay like a kind of fine, like a get out fine, and then start a whole new one. Why was this the case, I wonder?
Well, they're all powerful now. Everyone wants an iPhone, so they can just stipulate whatever they want. It never used to be like that. You could upgrade early, and they were just happy to have you for longer.
I've got freedom from an iPhone. And I will have for the next year or so. Unless Apple sends me one. Come on, Apple. Hint, hint, Apple. It's Tracy's birthday. Just send it to me. So that's that. Apparently somewhere in the legal documents, the term maybe some spankings is used, but I'm not going to troll through the documents themselves to find the context. But it's pretty good. Maybe some spankings. Apple is basically suing Gawker. It's using this argument about this loss of income. And Gawker saying, presumably, no loss of income. And anyway, we're journalists, we should be able to say what we want. It's all been a bit kind of dirty and messy. At this stage, I think just after it happened, just after Gizmodo got hold of it, we talked about whether we thought Gizmodo had done the right thing, kind of ethically, and I think that's fairly straightforward. Ethically, I don't think they really have a case. In terms of their business, and for Jason Chen personally, do you think at this stage it's looking like they made the right choice by buying the 4G, Tracy?
I don't think so. I think a lot of people are coming around to the conclusion that they thought that Gizmodo's actions were pretty shady, and that it now is a cloud that hangs over their head. So I think even though they're going to probably feel the benefits of that of that situation in terms of traffic for a little while, I think I think their reputation has certainly been tarnished.
The goodwill.
And that may or may not have a long-term effect, but usually it does.
Yeah. No more goodwill. Okay, and the finder, Brian Hogan, he sounds like a bit of a dickhead, because apparently it was his roommate who dubbed him into the police, and when his roommate was asking him not to sell the phone to Gizmodo, Hogan said, "Sucks for him, shouldn't have lost this phone." Sucks for him, presumably being the engineer who
wow.
left it behind. That's very
good attitude.
Yeah, he got $5,000 for it, though.
It's not that much, is it, though, really? He's had to move house because he's scared of the media storm that's now going up around him.
That probably cost more than $5,000.
But, yeah, I don't know. I suppose if you're not in the media circles in the same way, you know, if you're not following these sites, you wouldn't foresee what would happen. But then how did he know about Gizmodo? It's quite a hardcore site to follow.
He was hanging around in a bar where Apple engineers drink, and he was aware of Gizmodo. So I think he was a bit of a nerd.
Yeah,
must have been a nerd if he was in the same, just to be in the same bar as an Apple engineer makes you a nerd. Okay, let's do a poll. Rennie, would you sell the iPhone 4G for $5,000?
Yeah. Well, I'd sell it for more, but yeah, of course I would.
Ben, would you sell the iPhone 4G for $5,000?
I wouldn't. I'd return it and try and wangle a free one when it came out as a, you know, goodwill reward. Or if I was a journalist, try and get some kind of exclusive, although I know that's difficult with Apple since they're so draconian.
Okay. And Tracy, would you sell an iPhone 4G for $5,000?
No, I'd do the same thing as Ben.
If you've established a reputation as a trustworthy site, you know, there's a line between being an investigative journalist who's always looking for the latest thing and just fucking people over. And if you're not friendly and you're aggressively looking for stories, then I think it's going to put people off. And I think Gizmodo has seen the results of this. And I think it's really interesting to see that backlash happen. Because you know, the stereotype is that journalists are heartless, soulless, just will, you know, kill their best friend's mother for a story. But that's not the case. There is an ethical code, and I think there are limits to how much a story can be worth.
Well, we'll see. I think the answer to whether or not Gizmodo has done the right thing in practical terms, in ethical terms, we're all agreed, but in practical terms, is we just can't know. We can't know what commercial advantages. I mean, in terms of a backlash, we are still reporting on Gizmodo stories. There's still, it's not like everyone's. It's not like when GameSpot fired
Jeff Gerstmann.
Yeah, and then there was a concrete backlash in terms of people,
pulling ads and.
Yeah, and leaving the site, and readers, pulling away from the site themselves. There's no backlash like that. It has definitely increased traffic.
It's story-centric, isn't it? It's a backlash on that particular event. I'm sure it hasn't affected their other stuff. They cover so much on the site.
Yeah. Oh, well. We'll never know. Time will tell, but probably...
So we might know.
Well, I was going to say time will tell, but it probably won't tell us. Okay, so out this week, we've seen Split/Second racing game, which Tracy has reviewed and given 5 out of 10.
Five. That's even lower than six.
It's exactly average, yeah. So it's not necessarily a bad game, but it's not a good game either. It is mediocre. It's exactly mediocre. Tracy, do you think exactly mediocre describes Split Second?
It's, yeah, that's
pretty, middle of the road.
Mediocre.
Nice.
Thanks.
And X2 Football 2010 came out. I got
not
an 8.
Mediocre.
8 or 9? What did I get?
8.
Yeah, so that's quite good. John Mundy, our mobile editor, is currently working on a feature in which he will be comparing X2 Football 2010 with... FIFA World Cup, and in that feature I can guarantee you this: there will be lots of cheesy puns, football puns and football metaphors, the whole thing. He'll probably try and write like the commentary for a football match. It'll be really corny because he's a pro, and that's what journalists do. They
pack of the internet.
Nice. Wow, that's two good ones. Yeah, so those are the big releases this week, and obviously Prince of Persia Classic is the big announcement. So the stuff, you know, wrestling around, but you know, you can visit the site to learn about them. For now, let's go into the rumor mine.
Rumor. Rumor.
Do you have any rumors?
I have two that I was thinking of using. The first
I could just make things up.
I'm going to go with Tracy. I don't know why.
this is a podcast exclusive. It's quite exciting.
Yeah, a limited exclusive.
Yeah.
Go freestyle then. Freestyle. That was addressed to you, Tracy.
Oh, I thought you were talking to Alex. I was like, oh, really? Okay.
I'm not letting him freestyle.
Okay. EA is going to be releasing Risk for iPad later this summer.
Oh, sweet. I like Risk.
Okay. I've never played Risk.
Oh, wait.
What? You've never played Risk?
Tracy, I don't like board games. Well, maybe this doesn't apply to Risk. The only board game that I can really get behind... Well, there are two. Trivial Pursuit, just because I like quizzes, although there is a certain random element which I dislike, because there's a dice. And chess. I like chess. Chess is fully 100%, you know... Everything that happens, it happens through the agency of the players, and there's no randomness. So you can't say, at the end of it, I was unlucky. You know, if you win, it's because you deserve to win. If you lose, it's because you deserve to lose. Every other board game, it seems to me, or anything involving a die, is innately, fundamentally flawed, as far as I'm concerned, because it's got an element of randomness. And there are some games I haven't played Risk, so I don't know. But if, for example,
it's a bit random.
Is it? Does it have a dice? Does it have dice?
It is really random.
Three dice. Yeah, no. Holy really shit.
No, you would like it, Rob, because you like, planning a long time ahead and taking your time, and it's a really slow run. You know, a game can run for about 3 days. That's a short.
I don't like these things.
I'll tell you who would like it. Ben's dad, because it's about taking over the world, and he's a big racist.
Yeah, I always start in Germany. Always move out from there. Even though I've got no back to the wall and it's not a very strategic defensive position, it just makes me feel better.
So when you call it the fatherland, you're talking literally about your father.
Yes. Mine's
is it like that's the start of Dad's Army where all the arrows go everywhere? Is that you? You and Risk?
Yeah, and then, it's terrible.
That's his desktop.
I start shouting, people stop playing with me, and then that's how I win.
In your version, I bet the Nazi thing goes over England, doesn't it? It kills everyone.
England's the first to fall.
You're the first against the wall,
Alex.
You're kidding, Mr.
I like the way that no one's going to get this because potentially Americans watch this. I don't even know if Tracy's going to get this reference.
Do you know Dad's Army? I think I might have told you about Dad's Army when you were over, Tracy.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, there you go. You can't be in Britain for more than a few hours without someone bringing up Dad's Army and The Good Life. I think I also told you about The Good Life.
That's
yeah, you did.
Black, isn't it?
I remember you telling us about a good one. Yeah.
Yeah, great show. So that's, Risk then. That could be coming in the summer to iPhone. We'll all look forward to that, except me. anything else, Tracy, in the rumor mine? Have you swung your pickaxe? Has anything else fall off the wall?
I do see something. It's a diamond in the rough. It looks like... have you guys heard of this blockbuster sequel that Capcom is supposed to be announcing at E3 this year? You heard about this?
I've heard of it.
Well, the reason why all these publishers always say, we have a big sequel announced, right? And it's like kind of like, okay, yeah, every year you have sequels announced. This is not a big. This like that doesn't make it blockbuster. So the reason why Capcom thinks this is a real blockbuster isn't because it's just a big franchise, a new installment of a big franchise coming out. They think it's blockbuster because it's a big franchise coming out on a system that nobody thinks or expects that the game would come out on. Devil May Cry, iPhone.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
Well, yeah, that's a rumor. It's a good one. Devil May Cry. May I just say, to continue the theme, I'm not particularly, not all that excited about Risk, although I'll maybe have a look. Devil May Cry, never liked those games. Yeah.
Is there?
But you like God of War.
I
love God of War. Hate Devil May Cry. Hated with a passion Bayonetta. I don't know. What was that, Bayonetta?
I haven't gotten around to playing Bayonetta.
Well, if you like Devil May Cry, then you'll probably really like Bayonetta because it's...
Yeah, you'll love Bayonetta.
I can see why it's a sort of better version of Devil May Cry, but I just think they're kind of fatuous. You know, it's just... I suppose there's something under the surface. There's combos, but the way I play is so button mashy, and I can't see a way around it. You know what I mean? I can't see a way to play those games properly. It's just a big scrum, and everyone's attacking me, and I'm just going button, 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 dead. Button, 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 dead. Button, 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 button. Oh, past the level. Okay. Button, button, button. Look, that's Devil May Cry to me.
The pleasure of Devil May Cry is in never touching the ground and getting it perfect. And I agree with you. If you don't have the time to get to that point, then it's just a kind of war of attrition and not a lot of fun. But if you get to the point where you are elegantly controlling Dante and he's just, you do not touch the ground, you're flying around the whole room taking everyone out, it becomes transcendentally brilliant.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So you could be looking forward to playing that on iPhone. I'd be interested to see that. Good. So there is another sort of rumor, I guess, in that the Vietnamese site, Tin Te, I think they're called, although, you know, I won't swear by that pronunciation, which, while I was away, got hold of an iPhone 4G, has now got hold of an iPod Touch with a camera and has been showing that off on its website. But there's some uncertainty about whether it's something that's already been around for ages and is actually the old something that was on eBay a while ago, or whether it's something new and exciting. But in any case, it's an iPod Touch with a camera. It's not technically a rumor. It's a fact.
But it pertains to a potential rumor.
I suppose the rumor is there might be an iPod Touch coming out with a camera. Yeah? Rumor?
Yeah. It's a good rumor.
It's a very believable rumor. It'll probably get announced in September.
Really? So you reckon this is a lock, do you?
Oh, yeah. I would put money on Vegas on this.
Okay. And I would put
it's so predictable. It's not like it's not like saying, oh, the new iPod Touch is going to have a 2 gigahertz processor and it's going to have 512 megabytes of RAM and it's going to have a 300 terabyte hard drive. And be like, that's not true at all. Like, that's not going to happen.
But yes.
It's going to have a camera. Well, yeah, of course. Because the little iPod Nano has a little camera.
So that's the rumors. We've got the iPod Touch with rear-facing camera outed in Vietnam on the website Tin Te, which I'd never heard of a week ago, but now has had two major scoops that everyone's reported on. It's good for them. And Risk and Devil May Cry. So we're out of the rumor mine. Let's talk about what we've been playing.
Can I talk about mine first?
Yes, go on.
I've been playing a game.
A game? Okay, that sounds good.
Edge.
Oh.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, a real game, like, not like just one that I've made up. But you know, in one of the levels, they've spelt rhythm wrong. City Rhythm.
How have they spelled it?
They spelled it with no H. Oh, fuck, I just fell off the edge. Yeah, it's pretty good. But I don't really like the controls. I don't like the moving platforms. Actually, it's all right, but it's not amazing.
Wow, it took a real tumble there.
It's all right. Like, don't get me wrong, it's not bad.
Yeah.
I couldn't do much better myself.
It got a lot of... it won an award, didn't it? It won the IMGA. But then since then, it's been kind of a hero underdog. So probably everyone assumes it's going to be super great when they play it.
It's not that great. It's all right.
So describe what are the mechanics of play?
Right. So you've got this cube, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really know why it's called Edge, but you've got this cube, yeah, and it rolls. Oh, it can go up hills. I've just realised that it can go up things as well.
Yeah, it's called Edge because you've got to avoid falling off of the edge.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I'm trying to avoid that. Yeah. So you move around this cube and it like goes different colours. And I think, did Ben, your girlfriend, describe it as cute?
Yeah, there's a level where it shrinks right down, and it looks really cute and moves fast.
It's not cute.
Wait till that level, Alex. Wait till that level.
I'm not going to get there. I'm not going to shit. But, yeah, I'm playing it. So what you do is, like, you move your thumb around on the screen, and it moves the cube. And it, like, it just moves around, really. But I'm stuck now. This is quite annoying. I'm stuck on a little bit.
So... I feel like I've got a fairly good idea of what the game is. Would it by any chance be, so an isometric 3D puzzler in which you're trying to move a cube around, and I guess I haven't played it, but I've seen screenshots. So you've got to get it from the beginning to the exit. Is that purely the aim of the game?
I don't know. You just move this cube around. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, right? You do need to get it to the exit. But also pick up the prisms.
Oh, the prisms. Yeah, I've been getting them.
You don't have to.
They're little tubes. Oh, fuck, I've been pushed off the edge.
If you could connect some kind of machine to an orangutan so that its thoughts were expressed as human language and gave it edge to play with, I expect this would very much be like the result.
Oh, I've just done it. Oh, I didn't realize. Oh, fuck. I'm off the edge again.
Okay. So that's edge.
It's quite good. It's like a 7 out of 10.
Oh, it's quite good. Do you like bananas?
And you don't let him write for the site, Rob.
No,
oh, I finished it. I'm at the edge. Oh, and then it turns into like a little flame and vanishes.
Okay.
Edge time. I've got a new record time. Oh, I've got a C.
Oh.
For chimpanzee.
Chump meister.
So there we are. That's Edge. And so would you recommend purchase? How much was it? 59p, was it?
Yeah, of course. Why okay. The hell else would I purchase it?
Yeah. 59p, worth it?
Yeah, because I don't pay.
Okay.
It's all right.
Good insight there.
I won't buy it out of my own money.
Except maybe to support the enemies of Langdon. Perhaps.
I'm going to stick up for Langdon now.
Why?
I think he's had a bad press.
He has had a bad press, like Hitler. But he deserves it.
Hitler was all right. He had the right idea, just execution was poor.
Well, the idea being?
No,
trademark trolling.
No. Jesus. No, like, not the right idea about, like, you know, killing people, but the right idea about unifying Europe.
Hitler had the right idea. I thought we were still in Langdon. Whoa! Rewind! Right. Okay, so
let's... I just wanted to unify Europe.
Under one edge banner.
Well, under well, yeah, but you know,
same guy.
If he liked everyone, then it would have been fine. But he didn't. So oh fuck, ah, oh,
Ben.
Fuck you,
so what have you been playing?
I've been playing an entirely non-Nazi game called Monster Village, I saw on the App Store. I think it was in my Genius recommendations, and it looks, I don't know if anyone's played Okami on the PS2, it's a beautiful kind of RPG that's drawn like Chinese
looks
artwork.
Nice, plays boringly.
No, but it's lovely. It's a lovely game. Anyway, Monster Village is like a tower defense, but more castle defense. So you've got to hit everything, you know, tap it and make it disappear. But you can summon a tiger and a bird, and you've got to defend your village. And between each wave, you can spend the money that you earn on upgrading the village, upgrading your tiger, and you can send the tiger to go and fight monsters for you. And the whole thing, it's really aesthetically sorted. You know, the whole thing is one really nicely integrated package. It's brainless, and it's a little bit addictive, maybe a bit annoying, but I like it, and I find myself keep going back to it, even though I get bored each time quite quickly.
Okay.
That's what I've been playing.
Price?
It was, I think it was...
What? What?
Not sure, actually. I think it was £1.12.
What?
What are you?
You can't have it. It can't be £1.12.
No, it can't be £1.19. You mean
£1.19?
Or £1.19 maybe.
It would come up with £1.12.
I'm going to find. Oh, I won't be able to see because it's installed.
It's £1.19. It's £1.19.
It's £1.12.
It's £1.19.
£1.19.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I've just fallen off the edge.
Edge. Okay. Well, that sounds good. And you'd recommend it? Sounds like. Okay.
I would recommend it. Yeah. It's if you're into that kind of game, I think it would be exceptional. I prefer tower defense where you just put the tower down and watch it happen and just strategize, whereas this one you've got to keep tapping on the monster. So it's, but it's a particularly nice example of the genre.
My advice would be to wait until it goes to 59p.
That sounds good. And what's it called again? Remind us.
It's called Monster Village.
Monster Village. Okay, good. I do that because I listen to the Joystick podcast, and my one criticism of them is when I'm listening to them and I'm sort of distracted, they'll talk away about a game and they'll say what the title is at the beginning of their discussion about it, and then I'll hear them talking about it and I'll say, oh, that game sounds interesting, I wonder what it is, because I was a bit distracted when they said, and they don't say the name again, and I have to like go back and search desperately for it and try and find it. So, joystick guys, if you're listening, you know this is how it's done.
It's 179.
179.
Oh my god!
I thought the visuals were so nice that I would risk that expensive price, and I was vindicated.
What game are you playing?
Me?
Edge. I'm playing Edge. Oh fuck!
No, you've had your turn. On the iPod Touch, Tracy, I will tell you what games I've been playing. I had a go of this game that we got a pre-release build of called Spirit, where you control this weird kind of floating beaver with flight goggles on. Controls a little bit like Hero or Hungry Shark. Don't know. It's all right. Can't really work out what's going on, but it seems fine. I've been playing iFlexis. Just bought it in the App Store. Flexis is a game I played on mobile years and years ago. It's a bit like Tetris in that it's kind of a well with blocks falling into it. And you need to bring blocks of the same color together to make them disappear in order to clear the screen and so on. The unique selling point, as managers say, of this game is that the blocks are kind of rubbery and there's physics, and they kind of bounce around the bottom of the screen, and after they've landed, you've got a little period, well, while they're coming down and after they've landed, you've got a little period of time before they start flashing where you can continue to manipulate them. You can flick them up with your finger, and in so doing, kind of bring the colors together. So, for example, a block, say an L-shaped block, might be made of a blue, a green, and a red, and you'll have other shapes along the bottom similarly composed of different color blocks, and by flicking the blocks around the bottom of the screen you kind of try and bring the colors together in three or more to make them disappear. As I said, the rubberiness, the bounciness and the flickiness is what distinguishes it from a lot of other Match 3 games. On mobile I really liked this game a lot. I don't think it works quite as well on iPhone, funnily enough. I don't know if it's just because it doesn't compare as well with the competition, or because it's... I think on the mobile, the way you controlled it was just with buttons, and that was much more solid. There was something much more solid about that kind of input. But with flicking them, it just all feels a bit more windy. But iFlexis is still reasonably interesting and worth a look. I think it was 59p, but it might have been more. And I've been playing Sword and Poker 2. I heard about Sword and Poker from Mark Brown, our news editor. But I never downloaded it. But then I saw the sequels out, and I thought, why not, you know, download it. So I did. It's, Rennie, you would like it, because it's a puzzle game.
What is it?
It's called Sword and Poker 2.
Yeah.
So it's a puzzle game, but instead of trying to match, you know, bananas or same colored blocks, you've got to make poker hands. And you're doing it competitively against a monster of some kind. And so what you've got is the game starts with a grid of cards, of nine cards in the middle. I think it's nine. Or is it more? Yeah, no, it's more, 16. Because it's not pure poker, but it's, you know, it's a theme. You'd like the theme, but yeah, it's not very poker-like, to be honest. So you've got a grid, I think it's actually of 16 cards. Along in the middle of a bigger grid, and those cards are kind of, you know, so there might be, for example, in a line going down, like a blank space, and then no, it's not 16, it is 9, sorry, there'll be a blank space, and then there'll be like a 2 of clubs, a 5 of spades, and a king of hearts, and then you'll get, and you know, and similarly there'll be different kind of combinations of cards all throughout the grid, and you get given cards, and you've got, with the cards that you've got combined with the ones that are already in the grid, you've got to make hands, like in Texas Hold'em. There are cards kind of in the middle of the table, and you've got to use the ones that are in your hands to make full hands, and so you get, the game gives you cards, you have to make your hands, you get, and then depending on how good your hand is, you take some money from your opponent. You can play either against the computer or multiplayer, and likewise, then it's their turn. They get given a couple of cards. They try and make hands. A three of a kind is obviously more valuable than a pair. It kind of works in exactly the same way that real poker works.
The flush better than the straight, Rob.
If If in poker it is, then in this game, I suspect it also is.
Yeah, but is it in poker?
Yes.
A flush is better than a straight?
Yes.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Fuck.
So, I nearly beat you at poker. When we played poker, what it came down to was we just had to split the pack. Because we'd been playing for so long. And you won the £20.
Yeah, poker's got an element of luck in it, and you don't like elements of luck.
No, but I like the element of skill there in poker. No, I quite like poker.
I just got a D on level 9 of Edge. How many levels are there in Edge?
Loads. Is that accurate enough?
Thousands.
I'm bored of this game.
Well, that's sort of poker too. And as you go through, you're making your way through this game world, and as you go through, you kind of pick up powers that you can deploy. You get to, as you're playing, you build up this kind of wild card bonus, and with that, you get a joker, which can be any. Like if you've got a pair, then you put your joker in, and it makes three of a kind. It just makes your hand into the best possible hand, basically. Unfortunately,
it's called a wild card.
You get a wild card, yeah. So you get that, and you get other things. You can kind of poison them, and you can deploy all these other kind of power ups. You know, it's fairly good. I think Susie's going to like it when I make her play it. She gets into the iPod Touch. She's even started experimenting. She plays Bird Strike and Gagarin and all kinds of things now. I also downloaded Blockus, but it's too hard and I don't understand it. So with that, I'm going to move on to Tracy. What have you been playing this week?
I'll list off the games that I've been playing this week, and then you guys stop me when you want me to tell you about one.
Okay.
And then
good idea.
We'll do one, and then we'll move on. So I've played Denki Blocks, The
tell us
Incident.
About that.
Keep talking, because we need to know what they all are. Like, what if you say Denki Blocks, then you talk about that for 10 minutes, and then you go, you know, Street Fighter 6.
Double May Cry 5.
Exactly.
I'm more
you're
interested
like,
in
oh, we've run out of time. No, okay, yeah, list okay. them all, and then we'll go
so
back
Denki,
through.
Denki Blocks, The Incident, Split Second, obviously I played, Ozone HD, Gomi HD, Tower Madness HD, I played Zombie Infection, and that's it.
Okay, well... I'd like to hear about Zombie Infection, and Ben would like to hear about Denki Blocks. So why not talk about those two?
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's fine. Actually, I'm glad you bring up Zombie Infection, because I thought I had the world's best strap line, and it got edited out, but you were not around, and you would have loved it. It was perfect. It was Zombie Infection. Prognosis negative.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And it got edited out, did it?
Pretty good.
By the
it got edited out.
The criminal. We all know about John Jordan and his iPad stealing ways. He's basically a man of low moral character.
JJ, the iPad thief.
JJ. God, how I hate him.
But yeah, Zombie Infection. I know I gave it. This is interesting. I like kind of talking about a game after the fact that it's been reviewed, because I gave it a 7. And mainly I gave it the 7 because I didn't get really excited about it when I was playing it. It's a good game. It's just not very... It didn't have the oomph for me, right? And yet I still find that, oh, you know, I've got 10 minutes. Oh, I'll pick it up. I'll do one more mission. So I feel like it's a pretty high 7. Like it's almost an 8, but...
You could start giving out 7.5s and stuff.
To a magnificent 7. A magnificent 7.
It's a magnificent 7.
I'm stealing that pun from
you again. I think the 7 is the right score. I stand by the review. I wouldn't change a word of it. I just think that if you enjoy zombies, if you really want something that's a little cheesy, you'll love it. I mean, it's fine for what it is, but it's not going to knock your socks off. It's not going to... You're not going to be like, ah, yes, I love zombies. You're going to be like, oh, it's another zombie thing. So the 7 is good. But, yeah.
But
so that's
but it lasts. It's a slow burner.
Yes. It's quite long. There's 12 missions, each at anywhere between 12 and 15 minutes. That's pretty good for an iPhone game. For that, you know, that kind of caliber, the 3D graphics and all that.
Yeah. Okay. Might check that out. Okay, and
now you, Ben, want to know about Denki Blocks, yes?
Yes, I do.
Well, by the time this goes up, my review will have likely gone live. I just finished writing it this evening. And Denki Blocks has are you familiar with the game?
I am. Yeah. I played it on GBA.
All right. Do you want to explain it then in brief?
Well, it's a block shifting game, which is ostensibly, well, seems very, very simple. But I don't remember how you complete each level. All I remember is the mechanism of you moving the blocks. What was the ultimate goal?
So you have all these different colored blocks on the screen, and the only goal is to get all of the blocks to stick together that are of the same color. So if you have blue and red blocks, you need to get all the red blocks stuck together and all the blue blocks stuck together.
But they become a lump, making it harder to move around.
Exactly.
Yes.
And all of the blocks move in unison. So if you swipe up on the screen, then they'll all move up until they hit a wall or until they bump into another block of the same color, at which point they stick. So all you have to do to unlock, to finish the level, is you just have to make the blocks stick. And then there's all sorts of other objectives that you can complete that are optional. They're called master challenges. And these range from completing a level in a particular amount of time or doing so in a minimum number of moves or creating a particular shape. So it can get really hard when you are having to manipulate, for example, 12 blocks on the screen at once that are all moving in unison, trying to orchestrate them in such a manner that you create a, you know, shape of a particular size. So it can get really difficult, but at the same time, you don't have to do any of those extra objectives. You just need to get the blocks together. I found it aggravating after doing more than a handful of puzzles, because it's a really cute looking game, but it's not childish by any stretch. It's pretty cerebral because it requires a lot of thinking ahead. Because if you're moving so many individual blocks in one move, if you screw up on one move, you may not necessarily know it until, you know, 12, 13 moves later down the line. And then you realize, oh, well, I can't solve the puzzle. I have to restart. So it's been well enough designed that, one, the levels are usually not so bad that you would be frustrated and you can't find that the solution isn't, there isn't a solution to be found some way. You're not going to necessarily earn a lot of points, but you can find a solution usually pretty easily. And two, there's a undo button. So if you do make a series of bad moves, you could just hit undo a few times. I would always enjoy it for a couple of puzzles and then get really bored of it and want to put it away and then come back to it again. So I think if you really like having a game that you just pull out every once in a while, I mean, because I certainly have games that I'll sit down to play. Like Zombie Infection is a game that you would be like, hey, I kind of want to sit down and play something. I'll sit down and play it on my couch. You know, you're kind of actively saying you want to go play something, whereas Denki Blocks is something that you'd be like, oh, I'm waiting for the bus. It's going to take 2 minutes. I know I can complete a Denki Blocks level, so I might as well fill in that time.
Right.
And that's Denki Blocks.
Okay.
I think I can. I know what you mean. I know how it can become frustrating, and it is annoying to find that you've made a mistake further down the line. But I find it kind of hypnotic. I really enjoyed it. I think I'll probably get that.
I think it's what I had to say. It's probably the most polished iPhone game I've played in the last couple months, honestly. And it's very subtle, but there's clearly been a lot of attention paid to the graphics and in terms of, you know, does this fit the style of gameplay? And with the gameplay objectives, are those balanced appropriately? Are they, you know, not too difficult versus making sure that people who, you know, have an easy time with these sorts of puzzles, is it going to be a challenge for them? And also just the way, you know, you get a batch of 16 puzzles at a time, and you only need to complete 10 of them to unlock the next 16.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of, you know, even-handedness in terms of the design, I appreciate, because it shows to me that the developer is thinking, hey, you know, what are our players, you know, thinking about when they're playing our game? How are they approaching it? And that's really difficult, because most developers say, hey, I have a really cool, like, game idea and I want to make it. And it's really, they're making the game for themselves. Right, it's their cool idea, and they just want, you know, to kind of shout it at the top of their lungs. But they're not really approaching it from the perspective of the end user and saying, "Oh yeah, I have this really cool idea for a game, and maybe I can play it." But how is, you know, Joe down the street gonna know what the hell this is all about?
Yeah, that sounds like a good approach. Although, yeah, but then when you're thinking about the gamer, you might be thinking about people like Rennie, who are playing Edge.
What? I'm not playing Edge anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that sounds good then. Dinky Blocks.
Yeah.
Solid.
I've downloaded it already. I'm playing it right now.
My God, that's
59p.
That's viral.
It's $2.99, Alex. It's not. It's not.
What?
Shit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Shit.
5-0. Well, there we are. So that's a good batch of games that you've heard about. Dinkybots, what's our game of the week? What is the Edge game of the week? Let me have a look at... Well, it's just so old. I guess, I mean, we
Edge
can only vote for our own.
Edge 2. Oh, Angry Birds, then.
You know there's 15 more levels, Rennie?
What do you mean, do I know? I've already bloody completed them.
No, there's the ones that came out yesterday.
What?
Now you're listening. Yeah, there's another 15 came out yesterday.
God, what a good value game.
Should have been in the news, really. So that's what we've been playing. I like Sword and Poker 2. Of my games, that's the one I'd recommend. I'm getting the general sense that Dinky Blocks sounds like it's the best game just because it got the most airtime. So we say Dinky Blocks Game of the Week.
Yeah.
$2.99. So that's the end of the podcast. So let's... what was I going to say? I was going to say something about something that people must do. Oh, yeah. What they should do is pay attention to Pocket Gamer, because we're soon going to have some video reviews. You know, they're not... I'll be honest, we're not the first people to... we're not trailblazers in this particular area, although we've had video reviews before, but... We are going to be having some more video reviews. So, and, you know, we've seen samples. Tracy and I have seen the work in progress, and they're very amusing. The host is a little bit like a bit like Michael Cera. He's American. He makes me laugh.
He a serial killer?
Could be. I don't want to say no at this stage.
Yeah.
Right. Well, okay.
But he's a very young serial killer. Maybe the youngest.
They all start young.
Yeah.
Dexter was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Dexter was like 12.
He's a prodigy of sorts.
Yeah.
I've never watched Dexter.
I like Dexter. Good. Should watch it.
Okay. Neither have I.
There you are. Tracy and I, the cultured gentleman of the podcast. I suppose Ben as well, Dexter, unless he admits that he's seen Dexter.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, I bet you like Lost as well.
I love Lost.
Oh, I love God. Lost. No, I'm with you. I'm Lost.
Oh, now you've joined him. Yeah. You've joined.
Lost, yeah. Now the real test is, gentlemen, please tell me that you have not watched Glee.
Oh, I saw.
No,
it.
I hate Glee. I watched the pilot and halfway through I switched off and I went, "This is dog shit."
I'll tell you what I did with Glee.
Enjoyed it.
got a lot of buzz. Spanner, our old news editor, he said Glee's pretty funny, and I thought, well, Spanner seems like a man with a respectable opinion. So I got hold of it. I watched about 7 minutes of it before shutting it down and vowing never ever to look at it again, because it was...
Because you're waiting for the DVD box set so you can buy that and not be surprised.
I'm putting on a production. I'm putting on a production in my local theatre. So that's it. So you know what TV not to watch. And on that bombshell, let's end the podcast.
Bombshell.
Go to pocketgamer.co.uk. Give our
read shit
podcast.
Read all our shit.
Read all that shit, especially Rennie's shit.
Oh, and enter the competition, because it's ending this weekend and we've only got one entrant. So
explain the competition to us again, then.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's to win a bunch of Fast and Furious goodies, as modelled by Paul. All you have to do, is upload a photo of yourself to our Facebook page with your car, Pocket Gaming with your car. And we've got one up, and it's amazing. The guy being dragged along with his, on the back of his van on the hook. There's so much more potential.
There's a picture of me playing Angry Birds on the toilet.
Yes. Well, I tell you what, if we don't, that's it. If no one else enters, we're going to publish the picture of Alex on the toilet. So you've been warned. If you want to stop that happening, enter. Or if you want to see it, enter. Then we'll do it. It could be the prize. It could be the start.
Do it either way.
Oh, it's going up.
Put it on the Fast and Furious t-shirt over Fast and Furious, because that was a crap game, really.
I don't think we should mix Fast and Furious and you on the toilet in the same sentence.
Okay, so there we have it. So we have a competition to win Fast and Furious goodies. All you've got to do is take a photograph of yourself, Pocket Gaming, in or around your car. If you don't have a car...
Or under it. You could be under it.
Toilet.
If you're too poor to have a car, you cannot have these goodies.
Well, you wouldn't want them, because they're for a car.
These goodies are... Let's be honest, not desirable goodies.
No, they're shit. I think that's the main problem.
They're shit, but we do expect you to spend about an hour.
It doesn't take an hour.
Right. So the what you're going to do to win this competition, what you need to do is invest an amount of time and mental energy much greater than the value of the prize, which. But the good thing is you will definitely win a prize. I mean, I think we could say, like, if you enter now at this stage, you will definitely win one of these prizes.
And then you can just put it on eBay.
Yeah.
Everyone's a winner.
But you will be a winner, because you'll get your photograph on Pocket Gamer and on Facebook, and you'll get respect from us. Absolutely. Primarily Ben. But
get your photo on Facebook. What a prize!
Yeah, and then don't forget to de-tag it, obviously, afterwards, because you don't want to be stalked. But yeah, pretty good. So do that. Enter that. So that's it. Go to Pocket Gamer. It's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from Alex.
Goodbye from Tracy.
Goodbye from Ben.